So, meet a marketer.
Mm.
Who are you and what do you do?
I am Zoe Lowe and I am the marketing lead at July.
Okay. What industry is July in?
The e-commerce industry.
Okay.
E-commerce travel.
Travel,
yeah, we sell luggage and travel bags.
Well, it was luggage, but you're right. Travel's the better adjective, I think, because now you've got all your different types of bags. So it sort of seems like eventually it will expand into different spaces.
Definitely.
So you studied Bachelor of Comms at RMIT, first grad role at WorkSafe. Why move in-house versus agency?
There wasn't a lot of thought process behind it.
You're just like, fuck, I need a job.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was like, what, like 17? No, sorry, by the time I graduated, I think I was like 20, 21. And I just didn't, to me, I was like, great, just got offered a job, hadn't even finished uni yet because the post, like, you know, and I was like, the pay is great, let's just do it.
Yeah, take what you can get.
Yeah, I was like, take what I can get. And I was a bit lost anyway. And I liked the fact that when you do grad programs, they do rotations. So I actually got exposure to all the different types of comms.
So if you're like a marketing comms grad, what would they put you in terms of roles?
I think they essentially rotate you through all the different departments in the marketing and comms department. So that was like corporate comms and PR and then campaigns.
Okay.
Marketing.
I mean, back then it would have been interesting if they had like someone. I guess they wouldn't have had someone specifically working on social. Whereas now
I think they just started, but you know.
Yeah. It's 2012, not,
yeah,
13.
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
This is the day of, like, it was really just all about Facebook. Why get into comms and marketing at all?
So I was on my last year in high school and you see the careers counselor.
Yeah.
And she knew my personality type and she was like, I think you'd enjoy PR.
Is this because you were school captain?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think because I am really extroverted and I'm a very much a people person. So I think that's what she recommended for me. And my parents were like, I think you'd enjoy PR and marketing. Yeah. And personally, it seemed really glamorous, you know, like Samantha in Sex and the City. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And was there any like subjects that you took at high school that sort of made that careers counselor guide you in that direction in terms of the things you love versus what you were doing in high school?
Yes. I took two math subjects and two...
Really?
Yeah, two math subjects and two English subjects. So literature and then probably normal English and French and psychology.
Okay.
So it was very like humanities.
Humanities, although two maths courses, that's very interesting.
Because I had to do methods. Like, you know, like it depends on the high school. I went to was very intense about math and I happened to be good at it. Even though I didn't really enjoy it, I like hated it.
It's like one of those subjects that you just have to do for so many courses to keep your options open, which is hilarious. So it sort of sounds like you were keeping your options open and then you were realizing based on what people were discussing with you that this like personality-wise would sort of align with you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
In the sort of early days, I know, you know, doing my little digging and research, I think you had 20 months at WorkSafe, slew of in-house roles. We've got CoinJar, TeamSquare, Effective Measure, and a little bit of consulting as well. In hindsight, what have you taken from that time into your role at July today, do you think?
So after WorkSafe, I moved into essentially the tech industry and I worked really closely with a lot of product managers and engineers. So I would say I have a very solid tech background and moving from a very tech industry into the e-commerce industry, which is what July is in, like it's the deep appreciation for tech and what it can do for a business. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've brought through.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that would translate from tech, like particularly the performance marketing element.
Yes. Because
a lot of tech is performance marketing driven with hints of content and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe that experience with dealing with, like people assume that all marketers deal with like ROAS and all that. But if you're a marketer for the B2B space, it's not necessarily a guarantee.
It's not as
paramount.
Yeah.
Maybe types of accounts or leads that come in is more important in terms of performance. When you look back at that time, all you're learning, were there resources you wish you had when you first came out of uni in particular? And that could be like anything from finding Moz.com to RFs or just like a YouTube channel.
Yes, because at that time content was not so wide. It was widely available, but nowhere near to the level that it is today, right? Like in terms of how helpful people are on platforms. So like Twitter, people do Twitter threads all the time now. And some of the stuff on there is gold. And LinkedIn nowadays, like, it's insane. Like, you could reach out to someone and they would literally be happy to have coffee with you. So many people are happy to help you. Okay. And I think maybe it's a mindset thing or maybe it was a timing, but I didn't feel like people were as happy to help me.
Yeah. Like, it is, but it's also, it could be like a youth thing.
Yes. Yeah,
like, I just remember what I was like at that age, and it would be hard to reach out to someone to say, hey, you want to grab a coffee?
Yeah. Nowadays, it's so easy. I don't even flinch when I do it. But back then, I was definitely like very shy.
So if you were to talk to a grad and say, hey, if you are leaving, it's not a great job market at the moment.
Yes, very challenging.
No matter what industry you're in. What would you say to them to reach out to more people?
I think so. And doing lots of reading. Lots of reading and reach out to lots of people, because my attitude is, what's the worst that can happen? It's just say no. They just say no. That's it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Rejection is like inevitable. Anyway. Yeah. You might as well just get familiar with it earlier in your career. That sounds, oh God, that's so pessimistic, but like, you know.
But it's the truth though.
It's the truth. Yeah.
So you're now 7 years post uni, I would say an up and coming marketer at a well-known luggage brand. Obviously we covered July before. If you were to, you know, we all go through these stages where you go through really dramatic periods of growth and learning, and that would differ from time to time. But I was curious right now, what sort of the principles that are most important to you as a marketer?
Well, a lot. The past 12 months especially has been hectic. Since I joined July, it's been unbelievable. Like the career growth.
The past 12 months because of COVID?
No, I've only been there for just past 12 months. Okay. Yeah, so since I joined July, it has been great. And it has really solidified a lot of marketing principles for me. The first one is to know the business and know the numbers.
Okay.
Okay, so until you understand how the business makes money and the levers in which it are involved to increase the revenue and how your outgoings impact the results, so inputs and outputs, you're not going to achieve the success that marketers should achieve.
Okay.
So you really need to know the numbers. And it sounds really self-explanatory, but actually so many marketers, they don't bother or they don't actually have the access to the numbers.
Yeah, or they get bogged down in their area of the business.
Yes.
So do you think that when you learnt those numbers, let's say, was it a time thing or was it a proactivity thing? Did you have to do certain things in the business, push, you know, the founders like Ethan and Rich to learn this or that? What was, do you think, like the defining component of that?
You can't do performance marketing until you know that. Okay. So you no choice. But July's, even though like what makes July special is design, the data and the fundamentals of, you know, understanding what results you get from what, inputs are very important.
Okay.
So yeah, Richard and Ace are very big on that too.
Yeah. So knowing thy numbers, knowing thyself.
Yeah. That's the first one. The second one is understanding the balance between brand and performance.
So, yeah.
Yes, this is huge, absolutely massive, and I can't believe it's not spoken about more. At some point or another, you'll identify whether you're a brand marketer and a performance marketer, but an amazing marketer is someone who
can do both.
Can do both. Very you'll I don't think, I don't believe that you could ever do both really exceptionally well. Like, I think you could do one really well. And I guess the job and the task at hand is to upskill and get as best as you can and decide that you're weaker on.
Yeah. Well, what do you think you're better at the moment?
I'm a brand marketer, I would say, but I have a very strong performance. I've worked really hard to get much better at it because I have no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think working with you personally, like you, maybe that's where that maths component comes to it.
Yeah.
So maybe for you it's been the most exciting thing in the last 24 months to learn. That performance marketing component. So how would you, if a recent grad or someone comes to you and says define the two, would you say it's simply performance marketing is literally like paid media, SEO, the things that drive conversions, whereas brand is about design and the look and feel and stuff like that? How do you sort of distinguish that?
It's hard. So I wouldn't, it's less to do with the person and the skills and more about balancing it in each activity or task at hand.
Okay.
Because they're often combined, right? Like with Facebook ads, you have the creative and then you have the actual media buying.
Okay, yeah.
So I would say everyone is naturally on a different part. Like they skew a certain way in certain things.
Yeah.
So you have to know yourself really well to be like, I know I'm really good at this and I probably need help or to get better at this
yeah.
part.
That's a good point because I look at our agency alone and sort of the client services team, it's really just Julia and I. She's a really good brand marketer, I think. And maybe that's because she's come from a content background or like she really gets positioning.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bought a few books. There's a really good book on this topic that we'll link, but it's, I just can't remember the name of it, but it's by a guy who's been interviewed by The Future, which is probably like the best education resource for agencies and whatnot. Yeah, it's not easy and it's more the qualitative, I would say, whereas the performance marketing is definitely more of the quantitative.
Yeah, so
I'm a spreadsheet guy.
Yeah, if I really had to define it, like the best performance marketers are often from an analyst background.
Yeah.
Like they're analytical and the brand marketers are very much creative and people persons.
Yeah. Yeah, they're more storytellers.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
What do you think is the most crucial component of your toolkit today? What are the, you know, when you get up, you start work and you open up different dashboards, what is like your go-to?
Okay, this is a little bit controversial, but I really believe in manually putting numbers in.
Okay.
Because...
into a spreadsheet?
Yeah, Excel, right?
Okay.
Because this is my theory and I actually think it's worked a lot because if you just have a dashboard that pulls in the numbers for you, I feel like unless you're a very, very disciplined person, you might not look at it as frequently, whereas I have to manually put it in. And I also have an automated dashboard to account for human error in case I do a bad job of putting it in. But I'm forced to literally look at numbers and then like be like, all right, go to Google Analytics, check it out. Yep, sure, pull
okay,
it in.
Okay, so this is a good point because this may, you know, you talk about knowing the numbers. Maybe it's that process that helps with that.
Yes,
and
like
people
you
need
have
to be wary of that.
Because
I find that, you know, some marketers can fall prey to just utilizing Google Analytics for looking at their higher level numbers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't tell the whole story because things, you know, aren't set up correctly.
Yes.
You need a bit of finessing. So that is very interesting. Maybe the process is more important than the actual looking at the numbers itself.
Yeah, the process of putting it in and then literally sitting there with a coffee for like 5-10 minutes being like, why was my website traffic bad yesterday? It's literally like, that's pretty much what I do. I literally get
that's
to the office.
Job.
That's literally what I do for like the first half an hour of my day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, when you look at your role today, you've obviously gone from position of a manager who looks over a small team to a growing team. I think from memory, there might be 4-5 people in this team at July when it comes to marketing, like design and social
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff. What do you view as your role sort of in-house versus leaning on outside agencies? What's sort of the most important things for you and a marketing team to know versus getting external experts?
Okay. Oh, I had lunch with someone about this actually yesterday.
Really?
Yes, I like we went out for lunch to talk about whether or the, because he was deciding on whether to bring someone in-house or go to an agency.
Okay.
So July specifically, and for my job specifically, the creative production, like creative is ours. We will never outsource that.
Yeah.
Because it's the most important thing for us nowadays. That's okay. the way that we can win, essentially.
Yeah. That's how you define the brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And the insights that come from creative, like, oh, the ad with the female bouncing the ball next to the luggage is better. Like that kind of granular insight is really important to us and we need to own that insight.
Mm-hmm.
However, the media buying of actual ads is something that is so complex and so moves so quickly that I can't be confident that I'll hire someone that's going to be good enough and ahead of the curve enough that will be as good as an agency.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a commonality amongst a lot of newer brands today?
100%. So, as in that problem?
Like that focus, because I notice when, you know, we get asked to pitch on social accounts, there's resource-wise, there's a lot of people that cover some of more of the creative stuff, which is, you know, you might have a social manager, a graphic designer, and maybe the marketer does the copywriting.
Yes.
So then they've got scheduling done, community management done, et cetera. And so what they end up leaning on you for in particular is really just distribution or paid media.
Yes. So, yeah.
Which is, and unless it's a smaller business that's really time poor, like a dentist as an example, and they may need you to do more
the
social stuff.
Yeah.
But that to me makes a lot of sense as to where the industry's going, because you're right. Like we have a specialist who just focuses on Google. We have a specialist who just focuses on Facebook. Someone who, there's not too many people, but myself, and we have a new person that focuses just on TikTok.
Exactly. And how can you beat that by hiring someone in-house?
Yeah, it's very hard.
They're, like agencies, like I'm a really firm believer in outsourcing tasks that are, or the consequences of it being done badly are really bad.
Mm.
So if you're spending enough, like you shouldn't leave it up to chance. Like you leave it to the experts.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay. That's a very good point. Right, when you think about, like, we chat to different types of marketers and I think a lot of them go through different levels of maturity and sort of their roles or their career, and it's whether it's just knowing the basics like having a website, pay-per-click, SEO, et cetera, to more intermediate stuff, which I would consider like enhanced targeting, whether it's through paid media or through better SEO and content, that sort of stuff. And then I would consider the more complex to be at a CMO level at a large organization where, you know, we'll chat to people. I spoke to someone recently about podcasting and like they're in charge of 110 different channels.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. So, and it is. And that's why, you know, at a large car company, they'll have like 20, 30 people just on marketing.
Or they will have lots of, people supporting.
Yeah. So when you think about that, what do you think has accelerated the most for you in the last 12 months in terms of learning? Where do you find where you sit in that sort of broad range understanding?
I'm not a CMO of a big business.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if I will ever want to be, but I am on my way there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 7 years in. So
7 years in. Yeah.
Yes, I would say I'm not quite intermediate.
Do you think
that makes sense?
What do you think is the thing that allows a marketer to make that jump? Is it literally just the responsibility? Because I would assume that a CMO is actually more of a manager than a marketer.
Yes. Okay. So it's definitely people management, knowing how to build the team. And knowing how to build a team specifically according to the business that you're in.
Yeah.
That is a huge skill in itself. And dare I say it, a lot of marketers probably don't have a strong understanding of business.
Yeah.
So your business acumen.
Yeah, yeah. Like a CMO, the way I see it, a lot of times they become really strong business people in the end. Like they're someone that could become a CEO.
Yes, essentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they're like the salesperson for
the
organization.
It's so tied. It's so tied together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. What do you think are the most important channels to, in terms of that that increased understanding and the things that you've learned, what do you think are the most important channels to July today?
In marketing channels?
Yeah.
We are an e-commerce business, so the marketing stack is pretty, like, normal. So, you know, a lot of Facebook ads and Google ads and Instagram ads. We started Pinterest for a bit. So that's, like, the traditional stuff. We do PR, we do press, we do gifting, we work with influencers, and we do brand partnerships.
Okay. What do you think is the most, the number one that you look at the top every day? Do you think it's the Facebook ads and whatnot?
It is Facebook and Instagram right now, but they've changed actually this morning because of the iOS 14 update.
Oh, yeah.
So because of this move towards more privacy for the consumers, I think my shift has now changed, and it will change in the next coming months and probably years, the industry of really honing in on amazing content.
So content, and do you think influencers are a key component to that? Or not so much?
I'm not sure. I'm undecided yet.
Okay. Because the way we see, you know, when you spoke before about creative, I tend to agree. Like, it's a thing that I think you should have the capabilities of as an agency. But we've made a bet on talent simply because I think any external creative that's going to be done is always going to be more of a content point of view and always involve creators because, you know, simply creating that creative is cheaper with an influencer than going to an agency, and it's more community-based communication as opposed to permission-based, if that makes sense. And, like, it's not as much of a controlled message as the influencer is or that type of content is.
Yeah, so I put influencers in earned media, like it's an earned channel. And so because I do that in my head, we're quite particular now with who we work with.
Mm.
So if a marketer is to nail the right influencer, because some of them, they have heaps of followers, but they actually don't convert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that in itself is like the hardest.
That's the tricky part.
It's
like things
so
like
hard.
Video views and all that.
Yeah.
But I think media buyers have gotten pretty savvy at that. Like just managing talent, people always ask us for quotes. And when I first got into it, it was like, okay, what's their follow count? But the real smart ones always ask average video views, average impressions, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah. That's where it's at. That's, yeah. Like so granular now to the point where engagement rate, I don't even look at that. I'm like, no, like how long do they stay on the video for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the average?
Yeah, because there's so many fake comments nowadays.
Yeah.
Heaps. Yeah.
So many bots.
Yeah. So many bots. And yeah, so influencer marketing has been something that's been really tricky. So we have to go into it with a lot of purpose. So I'll give you an example at July. I love working with photographers. They don't need to have a lot of followers. They just need to have an eye, like be amazing photographers. Yeah. So that's because in my head, I'm like, you know what? These are actual content, like content people. It's much better for me to invest my time in knowing that I'm doing this for content, not for reach.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, so what you're really looking for in that instance is someone who has an eye, and that's where the value is produced. But that could, interesting.
Yeah, so it's like when I'm now at the stage where it's so strategic where it's case by case, as in, okay, we're going to work with this person, and the reason why we're working with this person is because we're expecting to get either content from them, and like we'll literally know exactly what kind and what shot and help them with that, or for reach. And with reach, that's a lot harder to, like brand awareness, sorry, it's a lot harder to ensure that it's got cut through.
Yeah. How do you think, if you were marketing for a B2C brand today, how much would the e-commerce trend, because I feel like e-commerce has really defined B2C marketing today.
Yes.
Like all the trends that happen in e-commerce is really just what is happening in every other direct-to-consumer sort of industry. Would you bring that approach to any retail brand, or do you think it's a sort of case-by-case basis?
Case-by-case, for sure. Yeah. So July is a very design-heavy brand. The reason why you shop with us is because of how things look and how It's a very visual brand, right? It's a physical product. I mean, retail's, yeah, physical. But the channels and the strategies that we use would be quite different to a brand that's maybe more of like a discount appliance
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like basic T-shirts.
Yeah, because it's more of a premium brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because I've been reading this book called Luxury Marketing and it sort of breaks all those categories down. There's premium, there's this idea of mastige. So like a lot of the luxury brands now to sort of evoke the idea that luxury still has some sort of rarity but it's still touchable is they integrate, let's say Louis Vuitton has like a little purse and that little purse may be $300-$400 or something and it's a nice fancy gift that you give
to
people.
It's like the lowest barrier, like the, for like entry, it's entry level luxury
just
products.
To introduce, like Ferrari has like merch essentially. Yes. They make more money on merch than they do their cars, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But the margin's obviously low.
Yeah.
All right, trends. I don't want to touch on trends like, oh, are you excited about big data? Are you excited about this or that?
No.
I'm more interested in the last 24 months. We've obviously seen this obsession with data. Everyone's talking about TikTok. COVID, obviously, spends changing during COVID to swing back completely. I think I was reading the other day that outdoor spend or radio spend for the year was actually only down 2% net in the year. So it did this whole whoop, boom. Like it just completely flipped. What hasn't changed for you as a marketer during all this last 12 months, let's say?
What hasn't changed?
Yeah.
Creative. Like,
creative,
that's the only thing you're going to get cut through with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So for us, you know, things like how to buy media will change. Things like how to administer, like distribute the media will change, right? TikTok, Pinterest, you know, Snapchat, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you know your audience and you know what will classify as good content for them, then half the battle is done, I feel.
Okay, that's a good point.
That will never change.
We keep coming back to this creative point. I think I'd agree with that. There's always some trend, you know, Pinterest, Snapchat. As soon as Gary V starts talking about something, every sort of SME marketer is like, oh, God, we're on TikTok.
Yeah.
And we get that when people come through for inbound leads and you sort of got to tell them, like, do you have a website? No.
Yeah. You just get caught up in it.
They get caught up in it. And that's where I sort of come to my next question is, what do you think marketers and business owners focus on way too much when it comes to marketing? Like, you know, if you get a glance at Mumbrella or Adweek or whatever, what sort of pisses you off the most about the industry that people get too focused on?
Oh, that's broad. I think maybe if you don't have a firm grasp of marketing principles, everything else is useless.
Yeah.
So you just get caught up by the newest marketing channels and the newest formats. Yeah, and there's no point until I would argue a lot of people actually don't have a firm grasp of their marketing machine.
Yeah.
And that is just the most important thing. And I think it's true across marketers and business owners. Until you understand that, don't get distracted by everything else.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think even myself as a business owner, you try and chase silver bullets too much.
Yeah.
And for some people, maybe it's just a time thing. I know for me it was like, you start to realize, okay, this channel is a complete waste of time, but you investing that time and money in it made you realize that. But I would agree. I think too often people get focused on the new trend and they don't focus on the basics because it's boring.
Yeah.
At least to them.
Yeah, it's the boring stuff.
Yeah.
It is. Like, it's basic. It's done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And until you nail, like, traditional or, you know, channels that are proven, don't spend your budget on experimental things.
Experimental.
Right?
So,
like,
yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, do you, you know, if you look at your marketing team budget, do you spend a small percentage on experimental stuff at all?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do. And, you know, there are months when rev is high and I have more, like, if the budget is higher, I have more. And then there are some months, like, COVID was challenging because I really needed to ensure profitability. So the experimental stuff really took a back seat.
Yeah, you would have cut it completely.
Yeah, and I focus a lot more on what we can do in-house.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very resourceful.
Did you hear that, Ethan? Okay, so before we wrap up, last question for you. What's a question that you wish people asked you more often about marketing?
Oh, my gosh. maybe, I guess, I would like marketers to talk more about the insights that they have with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not job moves.
Yeah, I don't care about job moves. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I already see that in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I guess insights and trends and your opinions about things that are happening, assuming everyone has nailed their marketing principles and basics and stuff like that, the fun stuff to talk about, yeah, is definitely, like, what are you trying? Like, how is it working? And, you know, what's the insight from it? And how can we, like, how can other marketers apply it?
Yeah.
That's the cool stuff.
Yeah, I would second that. Getting into the nitty-gritty is what I like chatting about.
Yeah. Takes a while to get there, though.
Takes a while.
Yeah.
And the right type of person to be chatting about it with is the key as well. Zoe Lowe, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find July and where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find July at July. Yes, the handle is at July across Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest.
Yep.
Or July.com. And I'm on LinkedIn, ZHOELOW.
We'll link all of that. And July Luggage website is it JulyLuggage.com?
No, it's July.com.
.com?
Yeah, just .com. Fuck. July.com. I know.
Got that. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Well done.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.